You know, they always want me to give a title. Half the time I give one. When I don't, they give it some title, and I'll be looking at some of the CDs and stuff. And yeah, if you're youth, I see Jesse going out with the youth. They'll go back and have their service now. They'll give it some title, and I say, what in the world? I never preached that sermon. And then they start telling me what it is, and I say, oh, yeah, but that's the wrong title, boys. So I've started trying to title them myself. So if I'm looking for one, you know, in the CD, and I want to go back and hear what I said, I've started giving it a title so I'll know which sermon it is, all right? And tonight it's called Until Your Harvest Comes. Now, has anybody ever noticed that it's summertime? In this part of the country, we know when summer gets here. But, you know, that's one thing that we can be pretty sure of, that in this part of the country, we're gonna have winter. Are we gonna have fall, winter, spring, and summer? Now, as far as I'm concerned, I wouldn't mind having a mixture of late fall and early spring. I don't like late spring because we get too many tornadoes in the late spring area. But, you know, I want to look at a scripture in Genesis 8, 20 through 22. Genesis 8, 20 through 22. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took every clean animal and every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the Lord. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. And then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. This is Noah coming out of the dark ark. While the earth remains, I want you to get a hold of that. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease. Now, I want you to notice that God made a threefold promise there. He promised never to curse the ground again because of the evil that man does. He promised that he'll never destroy humanity again like he did at the flood. And he promised that as long as the earth remained, that there would be times and seasons. You know, and he doesn't violate his own word. You know, a lot of people are concerned, oh, there's so many million people in the world, billion people in the world. The earth is doomed. We'll never be able to sustain it. And then there's some people talking about global warming and all the other things. But God said, right here in the Word, he said, as long as the earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest. There will be seasons. There will be heat and cold. Y'all looking at me sort of funny. But that's what the God said. Amen. You know, there'll be times when it'll be hot. There'll be times when it'll be cold. There's a time to plant and there's a time to harvest. You know, my grandpa down there in that black land of north central Texas, he raised cotton when I was a kid. He left the farm and went to be a night watchman at the Burlington Mills there in Sherman. Oh, I think I was probably in the first grade or so when he did that. But he would go out, you know, and he would look around, and I'd hear him say, Savannah, that's my grandmother. And he'd say, well, better get ready to get the land ready. It's getting time to plant, you know. And I realized there was a process that he went through. First, he would go out and he would till up the ground and turn it over as the winter had gone by, and he would turn the dirt over. And so any of y'all farmers, or know what I'm talking about. And then he would go through that, and then he would, after he turned it over with the plow, He'd wait a few days and it aerate a little bit, and then he'd go back through with a deal that would, I don't know what you call it, a tiller, I think it was, or something like that. And then he might have to let that set a little bit, and he might go back out through there and spray some herbicides and stuff. And then after a bit, he would plant, you know. And now, from the time he planted to the time he got a harvest, there was a period of time. And what we do during that time of believing and asking for something from God until it comes to pass is vitally important. He could have done everything that he did up to planning, but if he didn't take care of the necessary things that was necessary to do to that field all the way through to harvest time, he would not have gotten a harvest. Now, you know, I mean, that was years ago. I mean, you know, well, about 20 years ago. Yeah. 50 more. Well, I'm 78, so I was about 6 years old, so you do the math. And they got a lot more things now. But down there in that part of Texas, we got something you call Johnson grass. And if you don't go out, now they do it different. But back then, you had to hoe the field. They call it hoeing. And you go down the row with a hoe, and you taking out the Johnson grass, you know. And because if you didn't take care of that, it would come in and choke out the plants. You might get a little bit of a harvest, but you're not going to get a whole lot. And so, you see, we need to learn to do what to do during that time, during this time to this time. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we'll reap if we don't lose heart. And that's the New King James. The NLT says it like this, New Living Translation. So let's not get tired of doing what is good, and at just the right time, you'll reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Now, you see, when you plant a crop, there is a time for harvest. You don't go out the next day and harvest. How many of you ever planted a rose bush at your house or some kind of flower? You don't go out the next day and cut off a dozen roses and make a bouquet. It takes a while for that plant to grow and then start to produce. You know, I forget how long it is. They said from the time they plant, and I was talking to one of the guys down in Florida about the oranges, and he said, from the time they plant an orange tree to the time they reap the first harvest off of it, it was several years before they reaped a harvest. But they had to take care of that tree all those years. There wasn't no fruit on it, but you still had to take care of it and do the things that need to be done to it. Now, there is a time between seed time and harvest. There's a lot of people that give up too quickly when they start believing God. They get tired. They get weary. Now, we got to realize we have to endure and persevere. Now, that's not exciting and that's not fun. But, you know, how many of you have ever started a new job and they gave you certain promises in the future, right? Now, it's not exciting. It's exciting to start the new job. But it's not exciting to stay there and do what is necessary to get to the time to get the perks. Like showing up consistently, on time, maintaining the right attitudes, doing your work with excellence, getting more education and developing your skill. You know, we've got to continue to believe God even during the time that we start and ask him that the promises come to pass in our lives till we receive it, there is a continual process of continuing confessing and believing. That's the same thing that the farmer does to the ground. See, Galatians 6:9 said, in due season. Sometimes people fuss and fret because they're not getting their harvest when they want to. But did you ever notice that harvest comes at the right time? If you plant at the right time, you will receive the harvest during the harvest season. When you believe God, you have to realize that there will be a time between believing God and the receiving. Now, thank God, there sometimes it comes instantly, but I have noticed most of the time there is a period of time of standing with your faith, just standing your ground in faith. Anybody come up with that? Anybody notice that? But you did reap a harvest as you stood in faith. You know, yeah, it would be a whole lot easier if we didn't have to go through difficulties and situations. Now, Jeremiah 17:7 says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when he comes, but its leaf will be green. It will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. It's saying here, if we stay hooked up to Jesus and stay hooked up to believing God, that we will not cease yielding fruit, or we won't cease receiving what we believe in God for. Some people stop believing God when trouble comes along. They think that, I must not be in faith. Actually, if you believe in God for something and the devil comes and attacks you, that's not a sign that you're not in faith. That's probably more of a sign that you are in faith and the devil trying to knock you out so that you don't receive the blessing that God has for you. Amen. You know, you know, it says here, like a tree planted by the water. You know, you can start driving on Interstate 40 here and going out through western Oklahoma, out across the panhandle of Texas there, and get out there in New Mexico and Arizona. And if you think it's dry out in the panhandle here and in the panhandle of Texas, get over in that desert over in New Mexico and Arizona. But you know what? You can be driving. I remember the first time I ever went there, I just got out of the ninth grade. Dad picked us up at school there in Garland, and we drove to California, and then we were there for a whole year preaching all over the state. But I remember driving. We was on old Highway 66, and now Mom and me and Sis had never been there, but Dad had been there many times, and so I'd look out across and I say, "Hey, Dad, look over there. There's a line of trees over there." He said, "Yeah, there's a stream of water over there." I mean, everything else, there's nothing going on. It's bare, it's dry, but man, right there by the stream of water, there's green trees. Hey, that's what we have to do. We have to stay with God. You can't get away. You stay with him, and there's going to be a harvest. You'll get the harvest. You know, we need to resist going against and falling in line with the devil until, oh, well, you're not going to get it this time. You know, actually, Corey Ten Boone said, never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. You know, sometimes we start believing God for something. We don't know what the future is sometimes. But I'll tell you what, if we stay focused with God, it doesn't matter because it's going to come out all right. Yes, amen. See? You know, use our faith to get through all of our situations. Now, 1 Peter 4:12 says, beloved, do not think it strange concerning fiery trials, which is to try you as though some strange thing has happened. You see, the enemy wants to come at you and say, oh, there's nobody else ever been in a trial like this. Nobody else has ever had anything like this. You must really be out of the will of God. And Peter said, don't think it's strange that it's happening to you, because it happens to all of us. We all go through things. I don't care how big a preacher you are, or how small a preacher you are. I don't care how much faith you have or how little faith you have. Actually, the Word of God said, if you got faith, the grain of mustard seed. You ever seen a mustard seed? That thing, it's about the size. It's about the size of the head of one of those straight pins. How many of you guys ever had to go? You go in the dressing room, try on a shirt, and you had to take 15,000 pins out of that shirt before you can get it on. Now they started putting plastic deals. But how many remember when you had that? Well, you know, that pin almost is so little you can't get a hold of the top of it sometimes. Anybody ever know that? And he said, if you just had that much faith, everything was possible. You know, and we need to realize that trouble and difficulties come to everybody. I don't care who you are. And don't think it's strange when the enemy shows up with a bunch of junk. He's going to do that because the Word of God says that he's come to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus has come that we might have life and have it more abundantly.
Yes,
amen. Amen. You know, the devil come up to me and say, well, now, you know, if you're a better Christian, you wouldn't be having these problems. That you believe in God, but you're not good enough Christian. That ain't got nothing to do with it. Do you know you can't be a good enough Christian? Because if you're born again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's as good as you ever can get. It's being born again by the blood of Jesus. Now, you can learn to live in line with the Word of God more and learn more about God and more about the promises of God. Everybody understand what I was just saying?
Amen.
All right, good. You know, the enemy will try to say, now look at your friend over there. They don't ever have no problems. Just because somebody's not talking about their problems doesn't mean they don't have any. Just because I don't talk about all my problems doesn't mean I don't have any. Some people think that we preachers, you know, we don't ever talk about our problems a whole lot. But, hey, we have problems just like you do. There's no use to magnify the problem.
Amen.
Let's magnify the deliverer.
Amen.
Let's magnify the results of being delivered. You know, the devil is trying to get you to back off of your confession of faith. He'll do whatever he can to get you to back off of believing God. How many of you have ever believed God for something? Asked the Lord for one of the promises of God to come in to pass. And then you had all kinds of situations come to try to deter you. Anybody ever been there but me? I can't raise both feet, but if I could, I'd raise it. Because, man, I tell you what. One of the things that he comes to you with sometimes, it's one of his greatest weapons, is fear. The enemy comes with fear. He'll come to you, you believe in God for something, and he'll be come to you with thoughts of fear of what would happen. What if it doesn't happen? I just tell him, I'm not being given a spirit of fear, but a power of love and sound mind. Get out of here.
Amen. Amen.
Another thing, he'll try to get you to give up, quit. Don't ever quit. I got a book I wrote out there. Well, it's actually, I don't write any of them. It's just sermons I preach, and they take them and put them together in a book. And the subject is called Don't Quit, Your Faith Will See You Through.
Amen.
You know, Isaac found himself in a drought one time. In Genesis 26, 1, there was a famine in the land, besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Amalekith, the king of the Philistines, in Gar. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, don't go down to Egypt. Live in the land which I shall tell you. dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you, for to you and yours descendants I will give these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to your father Abraham." Now, Isaac then said he's going to trust God. Now, if you read the whole thing, actually Isaac went back, and he, because his father Abraham had gone through the drought that said the first drought, and Isaac actually went back. You read the whole context and read the whole story, several pages there. You'll find out that he actually went back and found the wells that his father had dug many years before. They were all filled up, and he got water. Isaac trusted God. And he stayed connected with the life-giving promise of God. And he reaped an abundant harvest. In fact, it said in 26:13, the man began, now get a hold of it, the man began to prosper now and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. I want you to notice the progression there, the progression. He began to prosper. Then he continued to prosper. And then he became very prosperous. Isn't that what the scripture says? Doesn't that look like a progression to you? He started, he continued. He continued with God, and he became very prosperous. We need to understand that God will always perform his promises. It's us that miss out because we quit trusting. Isaac trusted and he started to prosper. But he continued trusting God and he continued to prosper until he became very prosperous. You know, Mark 11:24, we all know it. Therefore, saying you whatsoever things you ask in prayer, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. In this verse. When you pray that you receive them, you will have them. Have you ever noticed that there is usually a time frame between the praying and asking and the receiving? Anybody been there beside me? Amen. Yeah. That's the same thing as seed time and harvest. This is the time you pray and believe. Here is where you receive. You know, this is a season that you can't lose your confidence. This is a season that you have to continue to know that God heard you, because he said in his word, if you pray, I will hear you and I will answer you. Anybody ever read that in there? Hello. You know, Hebrews 10:35, therefore do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, that you may receive the promise. Don't cast away your confidence. You know, I believe God. I'm believing God on some things now. And I have to keep my confidence in what God's word said. The word of God says if I would believe it, I would receive it. Lynette and I, what we do, every time we pray over food, and that's at least twice a day, we make a confession of what we have prayed and asked God for. We make a confession, thank you for it, Lord. We just say, thank you for this. And we specifically state it. Somebody said, where you learn to do that? I learned to do that from a man that had my same name. Amen. Kenneth Hagin. Happened to be my father. Do you know how many people come up to me and tell me, say, oh, you don't believe like your father? And I say, what do you mean? And they go into some wrong discourse trying to tell me. And I finally shut up. Sometimes I let them talk. Sometimes I tell them to be quiet. I say, you don't even know what you're talking about. Oh, yes, I do. Blah, 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 blah. They go on and on and on. Finally, I look at them and I say, did you grow up in his house? No, but I read his books and I listened to him preach. I said, well, that's one thing. But I said, I lived there with him. I said, did you work with him for 31 years? Do you have his DNA? No. Well, I said, then if I was you, I think I'd be quiet because you don't know nothing. Now, somebody said, well, that's getting pretty bold. Well, I get tired of these people coming up and trying to tell me what my dad believed. They weren't in his house. They didn't grow up there. They didn't sit at the breakfast table with him when he just had on his undershirt and he needed a shave and his hair was all messed up. All they ever saw him was when he on the platform with his suit and tie on, looked like he come out of a bandbox. Come on now. Don't look at me like I fell out of a well or fell out of a tree. I did one time, but I didn't hit my head. There will be a time of perseverance. It's when you persevere, believe in God, that you receive. Do you realize sometimes the things you are believing and asking God for, do you realize that he has to work out some other things before he can get you that answer? Amen. Sometimes he has to work on other people. Because you're believing God about something that other people are involved with. That's when I began to make the confession, I have favor. In this situation, Lord, we have favor in this situation. The Bible said you have favor with God and man. I know I got favor with God. Now I'm praying and I'm asking God that we have favor with them in this situation to turn it around. Come on now. You know, I grew up in Dad's house, like I said, and I don't know how many times that we're praying and believing God for something. Man. You know, look like it's not going to happen. I know, I guess I was about 15, I don't know, maybe 14. I remember, you know, I knew we had a car payment coming up. And I knew that we had to make that car payment at the bank by 2 o'clock on that Friday. Well, we prayed. I mean, that's where I learned how to do what I do. We prayed around our table together and agreed. And, you know, and I said, Dad, it's that we've been believing God and the time is short. I mean, this week, he said, don't lose your confidence now. Keep faith. Keep your faith, son. Keep believing. Man, we got down to the very day and I said, Dad, and he said, no. Because the mail came and there wasn't no letter. I'd seen mail come many times to be a letter. This was years ago when I was, like I said, I was 14, I think. And so then I saw mail. I was outside doing something. I saw a mail truck coming down the street and it started about to stop. And I thought maybe it'd be special delivery. I mean, you remember when they used to bring special delivery letters to the house, you know. Now they have it overnight or something, they call it. They stopped at their next door neighbor. Now I'm looking at the clock. That was back when the banks closed at 2 o'clock. Anybody remember when the banks used to close at 2 o'clock in the afternoon? Yeah. And so I saw a truck, mail truck coming, and it started stopping in front of the house. I ran in the house. I told Dad, I said, Dad, the mail truck just stopped out there. He said, okay, get it. That's it. And sure enough, the man there was a letter from a guy, and he said, now, Brother Hagin, I know you don't need this, but God's been dealing with me for several days, and it's got so bad I just had to send it to you, special delivery. And the dad, when I told him the mail truck was coming, he went and got his tie on and jumped in the car, and he was running up to the bank. As the guard was locking the door and the guard saw him and he knew who he was, he asked him, Mr. Mike still here? He said, yeah. And so he let him in and he went in and he made the payment. But you see, we'd been believing God for that, but it came. But man, so I'm not telling you something that I hadn't lived with and that I don't live with to this very day. It's during these times when we don't see the answer coming that we hold on to our confidence. We hold on to our confession of faith. You know, 1 John 5 says, now this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we ask for.
Yes, amen.
We have to keep believing. We have to keep declaring. Even when it looks like it ain't going to happen. And I realize that's not good English, but that's what we say where I come from. All right. Now, I'll give you four action steps as I close this up because I got 3 minutes that I'm supposed to be done. All right, here we go. Action step number one, make sure you're trusting in God's promise and not because somebody else had this happen to them. We had an old boy, second year of Rhema, the 75-76. You know, we graduated the first class. We started in 74, graduated the first class May of 75. This was September of 1975, the 75-76 class. And a young man came to me and he said, I was praying last night and the Lord told me to give. And there was a family, a man was going to school and he had his wife and his kids and they didn't have a car. And this young man came to me and said, the Lord told me to give them my car. And what do you think about that? And I said, well, I don't know because I wasn't there. But if you believe it's the Lord, then I think I would follow God. He did. He gave them his car. 3 weeks later, some friends of his from back in his home came down and gave them a brand new car. One of them drove their car and one of them drove this car and gave it to it. Well, one guy, he didn't ask me about it. They told me later this. Some of the other guys told me later that he said, bless God, if he can give his car away and get a new one, I can do the same thing. I'm going to give my car away and get me a new car. I saw him 3 years later. He's still walking. You see, you can't do it just because somebody else did it. You do it in line with the Word of God, if the Word says for you to do it, or if the Spirit of God speaks to you and tells you, but you can't do it just because somebody else did it. You know, I've seen people, because somebody else was believing God for their healing and threw their medicine away and got healed, I've seen other people that threw their medicine away and they got in trouble. But they didn't do it because they were standing on the promises of God. They did it because they saw those people do it.
Yes, amen.
You see, we're supposed to follow the faith of God. In fact, one of the scriptures over there says to follow their faith, not to follow their actions. That's the way we would say it today. That's not exactly the way it's read, but that's the way we would say it. Now, action step number two. Refuse to be afraid when any trouble or any kind of situation shows up trying to get you off course from believing God. Refuse to be afraid when anything shows up that's trying to get you off from your confession of faith. Action step three. Keep on doing the right things even though you don't see nothing going on. I know Grandpa would go out there and he would work in that field, and there wasn't even a sign of plant yet. Because he had to wait for that plant to come up out of the ground. And after the plant was there, he would still go out there and work. That's what I'm talking about. Keep on doing what you got to do. Keep on confessing your confession of faith. Keep your attitude. The Bible said it. I believe it. That settles it, period. And then action step number four, don't cast away your confidence. If God said it, believe it. You know, you can make it through. And you can endure till the harvest comes. If you'll continue to believe God and continue to confess that God's word works. My dad, you go to him. Be something going on, some kind of situation. I say, Dad, what are we going to do now? He said, just another opportunity to prove God's word works.
Amen.
Just another opportunity to prove God's word works. I've lived with it, grew up with it, lived with it with him, lived with it with me and my family now, because I know what God said in this word. And I got it printed in this Bible. I got it from my dad. He had it in his Bible. The Bible says it. I believe it. That settles it, period.
Amen.
Yeah, but what about this? There ain't no what ifs. The Bible said it.
Amen.
The Bible said it. Amen. Anybody get anything out of this tonight?
Amen.
Just keep your switch of faith turned on and you'll get your harvest. Heavenly Father, I tried to stir up these people's pure minds tonight and their spirits to stand firm upon the word of God, knowing that that word will work for them in every part of their life. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, with your head bowed, eyes closed for just a moment. I never like to have a service. I never preach, ever preach a service. I'll give an opportunity for somebody to find Jesus. You never know when somebody needs to find Jesus. You never know when somebody needs to rededicate their life. They may know what it is to walk with Christ, but they may not be exactly where they need to be with him, and they may need to rededicate. Anybody in any of those situations tonight, raise your hands. I want to pray with you, and I want to pray for you. Anybody anywhere. We believe in being filled with the Holy Spirit around here, according to what the Bible says, Acts chapter 2, verse number 4. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with tongues. The Spirit gave them utterance. I'm not talking about church creed or doctrine. I could care less about that. I'm talking about what the Bible said. The Bible said they were all filled with the Spirit, began to speak with other tongues. Anybody won't be filled with the Spirit tonight? Let me see your hand. Anybody? There's an individual won't be filled with the Spirit right there. Praise the Lord. All right. Amen. Everybody stand, please. Young lady, if you come down here. Hallelujah. Just come right here. I'm going to pray with you here, and then I'm going to ask you to go to a place of prayer where you can be prayed with individually in depth. Okay? Heavenly Father, I thank you right now that this young lady will be filled with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. Here we go. Just go right there with Gwendolyn, and she'll... Gwendale, I think. Gwendale. I can't ever pronounce her name. Sorry, Gwendale. Praise the Lord. Anybody want to be prayed for healing tonight? If you do, step out now. Come on down here right now. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Next Sunday night, Craig will be here at 6. I'll be over in Tulsa. Come believe and bring everybody with you. I sure am glad this wasn't a balanced scale tonight, because this side would have won. Because everybody's on this side, and this side's a little short. But I just thank God you're here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.